Hello, it's Owen Shehan here from Off The Ball, and the FIFA World Cup 2026 is here. And let's be honest, the matchday version of ourselves can look a little committed. Jerseys, face paint, scarves and questionable weather, whatever you have, maybe even a full costume if your team makes a run, you can look a little worse for wear come the end of it all. But the World Cup, it's not just about the football. It's the atmosphere, it's the nights in the pub, it is the watch parties with your mates, and maybe even meeting someone new. That is where Lynx comes in. As an official personal care sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026, Lynx's premium fragrances are here to help you smell your best, even in the middle of full matchday madness. Lynx, smell your best when you look your worst. Now, enjoy your podcast.
Off The Ball, GAA.
I feel we're in such a special place right now in Gaelic football. We're giving it a go. We're trying things out. There's an energy and everyone seems to love it, lad.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join. Off The Ball's Football Daily.
Welcome to Wednesday's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan. On the way, there's reaction to Ireland's unacceptable Nations League performance in Slovenia. Arne Slot learns his fate after the fiery Merseyside derby at Goodison Park. And Enzo Maresca defends Cole Palmer as his personal slump in form continues despite Chelsea's return to winning ways. First up today, Ireland captain Katie McCabe described their 4-0 Nations League defeat away to Slovenia as unacceptable. McCabe was deployed further forward as Carlo Ward's side conceded 3 goals in the first half in Coper, eventually falling to a 4-0 defeat. Ward accepted the blame for Ireland's diabolical first half, and one of her predecessors, Sue Ronan, says the new manager got her tactics badly wrong.
Well, I'm not sure where she was going to start. I know there was a late withdrawal of Megan Campbell. Megan Campbell was in the team right up until kickoff, actually, and Megan Connolly then just appeared. So whether Campbell was playing left back and McCabe was still going to be further forward, or whether Campbell was playing centre half again and McCabe at left back, we're not sure. But Carla has said in her interviews all week that she does want to get Katie McCabe further forward, and she wants to get her to affect the game in higher positions, but it just didn't work. And you know, when we don't have a natural left-sided or left-footed player that can defend in those positions, I mean, it was probably silly to put her there. If Campbell, as I said, was fit, maybe she was going to play in that position. But putting Aoife Mannion, moving her from right back, where she played very well, to left back, playing Heather Payne, who, okay, has played right back before. But, you know, I think we're really putting Heather Payne into a position that she's just not comfortable in. She's not a defender. She never has been a defender. She started her career as an attack, you know, wide player. I think she probably played centre forward under Vera Pell, so I think it's unfair to her to be putting her as a right back at international level, because she's just not a natural defender. So, you know, there was a culmination of things, I guess, that had a knock-on effect. But yeah, we'd like to see Katie further forward, but maybe the realisation is that for Ireland, she's better served than left back.
On this morning's Off The Ball breakfast, former Ireland defender Maeve De Burke didn't believe last night's result would have a lasting impact on the current squad.
No, I wouldn't be overly worried. I think if it was to happen, now isn't the worst time for this to happen. Like, you know, we still have, even if we don't qualify or get through as top spot, there's still the playoff option as well to get promoted back to League A. And yeah, it's definitely not the worst time, but it's still, there's just so many aspects to it that were kind of not up to par, that's the more worrying part. It's not just, you know, usually we just talk about we need to be more creative, and that's kind of been the way it has been for years, but we've always been defensively solid, and I've never seen us so open and exposed as it did last night.
But the problems that were illustrated last night, can they be fixed? Are they fixable? Because it looks like there's loads of them.
Yeah, I think some of them can be. I think defensively we should be able to tighten that up. I mean, that's, you know, that's, it's not, it's more so, some people say defending is the easier part of the game, and scoring then is the more difficult one to improve. And yeah, I mean, it's goes without saying, like, we're really lacking the attacking threat and a goal scorer. Like, we can see them, like, Passion Carey scored the 2 goals last night. She's over 40 goals for Slovenia, and we don't have that kind of out and out goal scorer. I know Kira Caruso does a job up there, and Denise and Katie chip in with goals, but we are missing that aspect. And I think just without Leanne Kiernan, and then also obviously Julianne Russell retiring, I think that kind of energy and that enthusiasm up front was missing really last night.
Back to last night's Off The Ball, the 42's Gavin Cooney told Owen that the FAI need the Ward appointment to work out.
The Carlo Ward thing needs to work out for the FAI. I mean, there's you know, a big missed opportunity in failing to get to the Euros. But also, though, I didn't think at having not qualified for the Euros, I didn't feel like there was a huge gathering momentum that Eileen Gleeson had to leave. I got the sense that, you know, people were underwhelmed, that there were things that could have been done better. But at no point did I think, yeah, there's like, it's inevitable that she is going to leave here. Because if you think about the very weird job that was and the campaign that was, Ireland were never going to qualify via the traditional route because they got it an absolutely insane draw. They were always guaranteed to land in that playoff final just because the semi-final was against a League C team, as far as I remember. So everything was going to be judged
Georgia,
on these. Yeah, everything was going to be judged on this two-legged playoff. And they didn't perform very well. And they were narrowly knocked out. Is a narrow defeat in a two-legged playoff enough for a manager's contract not to be renewed? And this is leaving aside all that's happened with Colin Healy since, which I think is a serious problem for the FAI, both in the court of public opinion, but primarily in terms of the opinion among the players. And we know Denise O'Sullivan and Caitlin Hayes and one or two others have been very outspoken in either defence of Colin Healy, but more importantly for the FAI, in their criticism of how the FAI have handled things. So the players are evidently unhappy. Like, it's quite an extraordinary situation to have players of Denise O'Sullivan's reputation and importance to the team so openly critical of the people running the association. So having made the, what would be called in political circles, the brave decision to move on from Eileen Gleeson. Now, I think Carla Ward's CV is highly impressive. So yes, when she landed, you're thinking, actually, that's a good coup for the FAI, in fairness. But they really need this to work out. You know, like, obviously the players and the manager themselves need it to work out for their own careers and professional pride and so on. But there's a lot of pressure on this from Mark Hannum's point of view and the FAI's point of view. And look, this is early in the reign, and you can look at this and who knows, in a year's time will be, you know, the feature pieces talking about the success of Carla Ward's reign will remember the low point at halftime away to Slovenia. But we're not there yet, and it's a massively worrying start.
You can catch up on all the reaction to a disastrous night for Ireland's women in Slovenia by becoming an Off The Ball member now.
Hello, it's Owen Chehan here from Off The Ball, and the FIFA World Cup 2026 is here. And let's be honest, the matchday version of ourselves can look a little committed. Jerseys, face paint, scarves and questionable weather, whatever you have, maybe even a full costume if your team makes a run, you can look a little worse for wear come the end of it all. But the World Cup, it's not just about the football. It's the atmosphere, it's the nights in the pub, it is the watch parties with your mates, and maybe even meeting someone new. That is where Lynx comes in. As an official personal care sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026, Lynx's premium fragrances are here to help you smell your best, even in the middle of full matchday madness. Lynx, smell your best when you look your worst. Now, enjoy your podcast.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Arne Slot won't be on the touchline for Liverpool's meeting with Newcastle tonight. He's been handed a 2-match ban for his post-match actions towards referee Michael Oliver at the full-time whistle of the Merseyside derby a couple of weeks ago. Slot admitted the charge of improper conduct and will serve the second game of his ban when Liverpool host Southampton on Saturday week. He's also been hit with a £70,000 fine. Slot's assistant, Siebke Hulshoff, has been hit with a 2-match touchline ban as well and a fine of £7,000 for his charge of improper conduct towards a match official. Both Liverpool and Everton have been fined for failing to control their players at the full-time whistle, with Liverpool fined £50,000 and Everton £65,000. So Johnny Huitinga is likely to be the main man on the Liverpool bench for tonight's game. Elsewhere tonight, second place third at the City Ground, where Nottingham Forest will look to bounce back from their 4-3 loss away to Newcastle, with Arsenal tonight's visitors. Forest boss Nuno Espirito Santo says they have to prove they're genuine contenders to qualify for next season's Champions League.
Our ambition is to perform, to play and try to be better than we were in the previous games, and try to build a platform that we can compete till the end of the season. This is what we want to achieve from the game.
Elsewhere, Tottenham will look to make it 4 wins in a row in the league when they host the reigning champions Manchester City, who they've already beaten twice this season. Manchester United take on Ipswich at Old Trafford, and an in-form Everton side go to Brentford. Enzo Maresca has leapt at the defence of Cole Palmer, who's now gone 7 games in all competitions without a goal or an assist. His latest blank came in last night's 4-0 win for Chelsea at home to Southampton in the Premier League. 3 goals in a 20-minute first-half spell from Christopher Nkunku, Pedro Neto and Levi Colwill had Chelsea in charge at the break, before Mark Cucurella added a 4th in the second half. Maresca was seen in conversation with Palmer at the full-time whistle, and the Italian has full faith the 22-year-old will be back among the goals soon.
No, but Cole Palmer, I will say once again, it's a human being. All the human being, all the big player, all a normal player, all a big club, big manager, we all go through a bad moment, or moments where we struggle to score. In this moment, Cole struggled to score or struggled to do the right thing, but he's happy. He knows exactly that it's something normal. It's also lucky because Cole, even if he's young, he shares time in a big club with the big players, and he knows that all the big players, they go through moments like this. It's how you react, and he's reacting perfect. He's laughing, he's happy, he has to enjoy football. And for sure, we don't have any doubt, he's going to score more goals. Cole is the one that I know from a long time. I know Cole from 5-6 years ago. And I said many times, he's top player, he's a top guy, because he enjoys football, he's so happy. For sure, when we don't win or he's not going to score, he looks frustrated. But it's normal, it's normal. But we are completely happy with him, he's happy. And he knows that what's happening in this moment is completely normal.
Fulham and Brighton both kept in touch with their fellow European hopefuls last night. Rodrigo Muniz scored what proved to be the winner for Fulham 2 minutes after the break in a 2-1 win away to Wolves. Danny Welbeck was the match winner for Brighton in a 2-1 win at home to Bournemouth. And Eddie Nketiah scored his first Premier League goal for Crystal Palace at the 19th time of asking. He put the cap on a 4-1 win for Oliver Glasner's side at home to Aston Villa. Unai Emery's night wasn't helped by losing goalkeeper Emi Martinez to injury at halftime.
He was feeling yesterday a little bit with some pain, but he trained. Today he did the warm up and he was feeling good. But in the first half, he told us he was feeling again some pain, and we decided to change him. I don't know exactly. We had to test him.
Celtic remain on course for a Scottish domestic treble. Brendan Rodgers' side are 16 points clear at the top of the Scottish Premiership after hammering Aberdeen 5-1 last night. Tonight, Barry Ferguson's first game as Rangers interim boss is away to Kilmarnock. And James Abanko says he's not yet dreaming about a call-up to the Ireland senior squad. He's become a key member of the Watford side chasing a playoff place in the Championship this season. He joined the Hornets on loan from Udinese in January. He started 7 of Watford's last 8 league games. And Abanko told this morning's Off the Ball Breakfast that he's just looking to establish himself as a first-team player.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Like you're saying, as a kid, you're just playing week in, week out. You're just enjoying your football. But I think when it comes into the professional side and you're not playing, it kind of like, I think it kind of messes your head up a bit. Not playing games, like, that's all you want to do, you know, just be on the pitch playing games. And yeah, thankfully Watford have been able to offer that to me, and it's really helped me a lot as well, and I've gained quite a bit of experience as well.
Yeah, because the last time you were on, James, we talked about the frustrations, what happened with Charlton and the lack of game time. Did you seek assurances before you completed this loan move to Watford that you would play?
Not 100%, but I knew myself, like, that if I go in here, like I'm going in here to do my best and to train to the best of my ability and just to prove that I can play. So I think from the first week I was there, the first few sessions I had with the team, the gaffer had seen that there was something there, and yeah, he decided to put his trust in me. And yeah,
there's lots more from James Abankwa elsewhere in the Off the Ball football feed.